celebration of us going into a new season together, a new adventure, a new mission for the kingdom of God, to see incredible things take place. And I tell you, I'm absolutely thrilled about many people in the room. Pastor Denny and Lisa, your love, your wisdom, your bridge building from one season to the next. God used you so critically for the life of this church. James, I'm telling you, you are the foundation of this place. You will always be the foundation of the place. You know, as the founder here, I spent a few moments alone with you this morning. I could see your heart, and I can, you know, now it all makes sense. All the things I've heard about you, people just loving on you, bragging about you, the wonderful things I heard from different people through this journey the last 6 months, I now know where that comes from because I saw your heart this morning. And we're going to celebrate that in just a couple weeks. So those of you that have been part of Coastline for a while, November 14th, we're going to have a Founders Day to honor James and honor his legacy and just to celebrate his work in building this place. It's going to be a special day to honor and bless him that day. And then you as the church and the elders, Steve and the rest of the elders, your just example of leadership through this process. It could not have been handled better. It could not have been handled more appropriately. It was an amazing process to be a part of. God, about 9 years ago, put San Diego in my heart, this entire area. About 7 years ago, I sat in the shopping complex across the street visiting a friend, and I sat there in the neighborhood looking out and just said to myself, out of the entire San Diego area, this is the community that I would love to be in. And now, 7 years later, God not only brought me to the place that he's put in my heart, but he brought me to the exact community that I fell in love with 7 years ago. And I am absolutely honored and thrilled and humbled to be before you today, to be your new pastor, to help lead this church into the next season of what God is going to do. And it's such a celebration, and most importantly, I want to, you know, honor someone that deserves more honor than really anyone else in my book and in my life, because they always say behind every great leader, there's a great woman. And my wife has been such an amazing and wonderful. The wonderful thing about being in the ministry is God gives you the ability to marry out of your league. And I married way out of my league. So those of you thinking about ministry, that's one of the great benefits of being. There's a lot of hard things about being a pastor, but as a pastor, you get to marry out of your league, and I did that. And I got some wonderful friends here that just decided they wanted to come and celebrate with us. And I'm not going to speak for long. I just got about a 5-minute, you know, message I want to share with you. But I want to, some of my friends that drove all the way here this morning, I just wanted to let them greet you for a second. They've been part of my life for many, many years. I have the Williams family, Angela and Leroy. You guys are going to get to know them next year. They've already committed to me. They're going to come in and speak at a marriage conference or marriage event we want to do next year. They're probably the godliest couple I've ever met in my life. Some of the most anointed men and women of God. Leroy was in the NYPD in New York in the Bronx area for over 20 years. How many know you got to be a man of God to survive the NYPD for 20 years? They've got some of the greatest children in the world that I absolutely love. It's wonderful because their son is very blessed, but at our church in Los Angeles, he was always known as Angela and Leroy's boy, even though he, you know, God's blessed him to star on his own television show for over 7 years in Hollywood, one of the most famous child actors in the world today, and yet one of the most on fire and humble people you ever meet. He's a future Oscar winner. I've already prophesied to him he's going to give me 4 Oscars, 2 Tonys, and 3 Grammys before he's allowed to retire. Already been nominated for numbers of awards. But I'd like to invite the Williams just to come up and greet you for a second. They're such a anointed people. All of you guys, come up just real quick. Angela. Come on up, y'all. Every time I'm with Angela, I know she's been from God because she always has a word from God right for me. She's one of the most anointed women I know. And I'll let you say something, Angela, and you can introduce the rest.
Okay. It is such a pleasure to be here. You guys are so beautiful. Hello, Coastline. You know, we folk from L.A. are kind of loud, so I'm sorry. But it is an honor to be here, and it's such a wonderful sunny day. It doesn't matter what the weather's saying. But we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's the sun is shining today. Amen. This is my husband of 23 years. 23 years. I've been with him since I was 14. Can you believe that? So this is my husband of 23 years, Leroy. This is our eldest son, Tyler. This is our middle boy, Tyrell. And this is the baby boy, Tylen. Say hi, guys. It is an honor for us to be here, and I'm going to be really quick, but I'm just so happy for what God is doing with Aaron and Amanda and Asher. Where's Asher? He's somewhere. But it's an honor to be here. And as we were driving up, we've been praying with them for a long time because we knew that God was going to do something powerful in their lives. In the Dream Center, God called us from New York to L.A. And the church that God had mandated, although my husband and I are ordained in another church, he called us to come to L.A. to just pour into the lives of the people in Hollywood. And we ended up at the Dream Center, and because we were trying to find a church that was on fire for God, but who loved people and had a passion and a heart for what God was doing, but allowing us to step outside the box. We walked into this crazy church, a bunch of people. There were people flying around in the air and ministry. There was a guitar playing, and it was a wonderful mess, let me tell you. And when we walked in, I was like, okay, they are just as crazy as we are. I think this is the place. So God knows what he's doing. But in the midst of that, we were able to meet Pastor Aaron and Amanda. And you know how it is when you meet somebody, immediately your spirits are connected. Deep is calling unto deep. And you know that it's one of those relationships that are kingdom ordained. So that's what happened. So as a result of that, God has linked us together. So when they mentioned that God was preparing a church for them, we just began to intercede. But now to see what God is doing and what he has done, I want to say to you, Pastor Aaron, that when I drove up, one of the things that God placed in my spirit was, for 15 years you served at the Dream Center and at Angelus Temple. Today serves as a confirmation that you have been found faithful over a few souls, because God has called you there. So now you have been allowed to be promoted to a ruler of many souls. And it's not about numbers. It's about a chain reaction, about how you guys, as a result of what God does for him, how you guys are going to impact the lives of others. And they're going to impact the lives of others. And it's a wonderful thing. So congratulations on your promotion, because it's from God. And I just want you guys to hold on tight. Put on your seatbelt, because he's a nutcase, let me tell you. He's a nutcase for God, but he has a heart for God, and he loves God, and he's such a visionary, but he can't do it without you. And I want to say to you, guys, I want to encourage you to let you know that God is an awesome God, and he's mindful of every one of you. He knows exactly where you are, exactly what you're going through, and exactly where you need to go from this point on. And this today serves like the first day of school. You know how it is when you start the first day of school, it's like you're excited, but you're nervous. You don't know a lot of people, but you got your lunchbox and you got your books. It's that kind of thing. But God just wants you to know that he sees the end of the thing from the beginning of the thing. And he knew all of this time where you would be October 17, 2010. So you guys are in the right place at the right time. So to God be the glory for what he is about to do with all of you new school kids. Amen.
I know as the new pastor, if I don't introduce Tyler, I'm going to have some teenage girls here this morning. They're going to be upset with me. You want to say just a word? Help me out.
Okay. Well,
this is how I build the youth ministry.
Well, as you heard my mother, I'm Tyler Williams, the eldest son of Leroy and Angela. I do this acting thing from time to time. It's been working out pretty well for me, so I think I'll keep going with that. I love Pastor Aaron. He was one of the first people to actually not only welcome us at the church, but then really give us a vein of where to go and what to do, and really brought us in and brought us part of the family. If you know anything about going into a new church, that's a big deal, because you're kind of especially with a big church like Andrew's Temple, kind of just like a little fish in a big pond. But he really helped connect us and really cares about the individuality of people is one of the first things that I notice. And I know that this is the perfect place. This is the perfect place for you to be, because you care about each and every single person, which you don't find in a lot of pastors. You find, you know, these mega churches with big congregations of people, but not necessarily a pastor who knows every single person. So that's a huge deal. And I want to thank you for having us come down. We told you that we would be here, and here we are. And, you know, I plan to come back. I definitely plan to come back and see what God is doing, and what, you know, you've explained to me your vision for what you want to do, and just see it come into fruition from what God says.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Leroy, what did it take to be married for 23 years to this woman? Give us a preview of our marriage conference.
Thank you so much, Pastor Denny. I believe I'm on my third marriage now. And it has been three great seasons.
Okay.
Three great seasons. So in and out of season, we pray. And we love. We love and we love. And then we pray. And then we love again. And we pray. And we love. And it's a love relationship. And there we go.
Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. Thank you, guys, so much. One of my passions is I want Coastline to be a church of healthy marriages. I want us to have the healthiest marriages of any church in the North County, and they're going to help us next year. We're going to have a little marriage event where they're going to come in and challenge the married couples to be more in love than we've ever been in love before. And I got some other dear friends. Shane Carroll is with me today. Him and his father lead a church. They had, what was over 11,000 people at Easter. And right in the Inland Empire, a numbers of their church goes to Cal State San Marcos. And so when he found out I was coming here, he says, "That's wonderful. I've been looking for a church to send all of our college students that are away from home." How many would like to adopt a bunch of college students for Cal State San Marcos? So Shane, come real quick. Just say hi quickly for me to the people.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, guys. I just wanted to say, I watched you guys in worship, and one thing, if I could leave you with one thing. First of all, thank you for sharing. You made me actually want to stay and not go back to my church. I ditched today to come down, and usually when, as a pastor, when you ditch, you hide in the back, and you get to just hang out and watch, and you observe, and you take notes of what not to do and what to do. And then Aaron walks up and goes, "I want you to share." I'm like, "I can't hide today." So thank you guys for having me here today. And I will warn you, I just want to warn you one thing. One, the energy doesn't quit with this guy. You said it will fade. It doesn't. He is crazy. And I will tell you two things. You won't know Aaron well until you walk the streets of LA with him and you watch soccer with him. If you do those two things, you will know him well and you will see how crazy he really is. But in the soul of it, you have a pastor that loves people. And I will tell you this, he'll love people until it hurts. And just as a warning to you, but he will do that for you and for your family and for the community around you as well. So thank you guys for having me. Bless you guys. I'm excited for this next season. Keep your hearts and your minds wide open, because Jesus is going to do some huge stuff with you guys. Thanks. Thank you so much,
brother. And I got one more family introduced. I'm going to let them stay in the back. They asked me if they could get out of saying anything this morning, but the Blunt family is with us today, Pastor David and Kim. They have a church of 6,000-7,000 people out in the St. Louis area, and his sons Daniel and Stephen, and daughter-in-law Tamara, and their grandchildren are all here. They have been like family to me. I've been blessed to be a part of their church for many, many, many years, and they have become like family to Amanda and I. He is a pastor of pastors, one of the godliest men of God I know, and they, on their family vacation, took time to drive all the way out here to be with us. Would you just welcome them with us today? And if you get a chance, tell them how loved they are. Thank you guys so much. Well, Today, I know we're going a little bit longer than we normally would go at Coastline, but I just want to share just a few minutes with you, just to talk a little bit about this next season, because let me know, transition is difficult. Never easy. No matter how well you do it, no matter how slow or how fast, or if you take risks or you play it safe, transition's always going to be tough. Going to the next level is never easy. Going into a next season is never easy. It's going to take the entire church pulling us together to get from this point to where God has us to go. But there's a purpose behind transition. There's a purpose behind the next season. There is a purpose behind the next level. And I want to make it very clear what the purpose is. As Pastor Denny said, keep the main thing, the main thing. And that's what it's all about. We've got to understand, what is the purpose? Why do we have to go through this pain? Why do we have to go through this transition? Why do we have to go through a season change? Why is God asking us as a church to go to the next level? We have to understand the purpose of it for it to make sense, for us to be able to endure the pain and the heartache of what it takes to go through a transition. Look at Acts chapter 3 with me. Acts chapter 3 is a powerful passage of Scripture about Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple." Acts 3 and verse 3. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave the disciples his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Now, here's the passage of Scripture where Peter, at this season in Peter's life, he's very popular. Peter is a preacher. He just finished speaking the powerful message at the day of Pentecost, where over 3,000 people were added to the church in one sermon. And Peter is popular. Things are going well. His ministry is just taking off. He's at a great season of his life. But Peter also realizes that it's time for him to go to the next level and begin to operate the power of God in his life. But Peter remembered the life of Christ. See, how many of you remember when Jesus was a teacher, he was no threat? There was no persecution when Jesus was a teacher. There was no trials when Jesus was a teacher. The religious people of the day weren't attacking him when he was a teacher. People were not afraid of Jesus the teacher. They were afraid of Jesus the miracle worker. Because as soon as Jesus stepped out in power, as soon as the supernatural began to flow out of his life, it put a bullseye on his back. The persecution began, the trials began, the attack began, the religious. Why? Because religious people don't like anything they can't control. And when God began to move supernaturally in Peter's life, it made people uncomfortable. When God, in Jesus' life, it made people uncomfortable, he became a threat, he became a target. Peter remembered that. Peter also remembered that in John 21, Jesus said, there's going to come a day where people are going to lead you where you don't want to go. Meaning that Peter would follow in the steps of Jesus. Peter would be persecuted. Peter would die one day, and he knew it. And historians tell us that the day they crucified Peter, Peter begged to be crucified upside down because he said, "I'm not even worthy to die the way my master died." So asked to be crucified upside down. Peter realized that. But Peter's popular. Peter's a preacher. Peter knows as soon as the power of God begins to flow in his life, the persecution begins. The trials begin. The attacks begin. Peter understands that. Peter realizes that. So right now it's safe because he's a teacher, he's a preacher, he's popular. People are being added to the church. And so daily, the Bible says, Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and daily this beggar sat in front of the temple. So I can just imagine that probably on a number of bases, Peter and John gave the beggar alms as they daily went to the temple to pray. Because it was safe to give money. It was safe to be a preacher. But God was doing something in Peter's life. God was saying, Peter, it's time to move up to another level. It's time to move up from where you're at. Yes, it's safe to be a preacher, but I've called you to walk in power. I've called you to walk in faith. I've called you to walk in the supernatural. And so one day, Peter is getting ready to go to the temple to pray. And I believe the Holy Spirit tricked him to forget his wallet. See, when you forget your wallet, it's old age. But when I forget my wallet, it's the Holy Spirit tricking me. So Peter leaves his wallet at home. He goes to the temple. The beggar expects to receive. Why did the beggar expect to receive? Because he's probably received from Peter and John before. And now Peter is in a dilemma. Do I play it safe or do I go to the next level? Peter reaches in his hand. You can see Peter reaching his hands into his pocket to play it safe. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I forgot my wallet. And he's put in a position where he looks at this beggar and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he was healed. And if you look at John chapter 4, the first thing that happened was Peter and John were thrown into prison. The first thing that happened after this miracle is the persecution began. The trials began. The hardship began. I remember a story from Oral Roberts, the great healing evangelist. Saw more miracles in ministry than really anybody I know. And I heard a story from his family about there was a season of his life. He became very depressed. He became very discouraged. He wanted to quit the ministry. He had seen miracle after miracle after miracle, but he was done. There was so much persecution. There was so much attack. The newspapers were slamming him on a daily basis. The media, the news, it was just negative attack after attack. And he became so discouraged that he locked himself in a hotel room in Portland, Oregon. Not wanting to come out of his room. For days he was in there discouraged and depressed. And his wife Evelyn found out that Billy Graham was in town the same week that Oral was there. And she called Billy and she said, Billy, I know we're of different denominations. I know we move in different streams of Christianity. But Oral is your brother. He's discouraged. He's hurting. And he needs a friend right now. So Billy Graham went to the hotel that Oral Roberts was staying in. Billy Graham called up to the room. He said, Oral, this is Billy Graham. I want to come up and talk with you. Oral was so depressed and discouraged, he hung up the phone. You know you're depressed when you hang up on Billy Graham. He found out what room he was in. He went to the room and he knocked on the door, and reluctantly Oral allowed him into the room, and Billy Graham sat on the edge of the bed. And he said, Oral, what's wrong? He said, Billy, every time they talk about you, they love you. They praise you. You're the hero of Christianity. The secular world loves you. Presidents love you. Everything they ever write about you is positive. He said, everything they talk about me is, it's always, they call me crazy. They call me a fanatic. It's just negative. It's just one attack after the other. And as Billy Graham sat on the edge of the bed listening to Oral pour out his heart, he began to cry. He said, Oral, a couple months ago, I was speaking at a crusade in Africa. There was over 300,000 people in the crusade. He said, as I preached, there was a lady in the back who began to run towards the front of the stage. She had a 4-year-old crippled child in her arms whose bones were all twisted and bent out of place. She came to the front of the stage and she held that baby up to me. Billy Graham said, Oral, that woman got me confused with you. She thought I was you. Billy Graham said, I sat there on that stage feeling completely powerless without the faith to pray to see that child supernaturally healed. The faith oral that you have in your heart, the faith that you have used time after time again to see people supernaturally healed over situations. Billy Graham said, in that moment, I would have given up all the fame. I would have given up all the prestige. I would have given up all the recognition for the faith to see that child healed. See, when you go to the next level, it's not always easy. When God says it's time to go to a new season, there's going to be challenges. But the miracle in Acts chapter 3 was not that Peter went to the next level. The miracle in Acts chapter 3 is that when Peter went to the next level, the lame man was healed. What is the purpose of this new season? What is the purpose of this level that God is calling us as a church to go to? It's not about us. See, when Peter went to the next level, the people around him were changed. The lives around him were changed. You see, as this church goes to a new level, as this church goes to a new season, there are people in this community who are on their way to hell whose destinies are going to be radically changed because of us deciding to go to a new level. See, it's not about us in here. It's about the community around us. There are people dying. There are people on their way to hell that are waiting for someone to make a decision to go to a new level. Because as we step to a new level, we pull up everybody around us to a new level. And that's the purpose of transition. That's the purpose of the trials. We go through the pain so that lives around us can be changed. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to be a perfect pastor, but I can make you one promise. I will keep the main thing the main thing. I will love you. I will give my heart for you, and we will also give our heart for this community, to love this community, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the offering song, "Tell the World That Jesus Lives." Tell the world that He died again, died for them. That's what it's all about. So we are here today on a mission to reach the North County area of San Diego with the gospel, to continue to take the seeds of evangelism that James planted in this church for over 12 years and watch those seeds begin to flourish. As I was speaking with James privately this morning, he told me that he said, the seeds are here. The seeds have been planted. It's now our time to see those seeds of evangelism begin to grow, begin to bloom, begin to spread throughout this community. Because as we go to this new season, as we go to this new level, people around us are going to be changed. Lives are going to be changed. Our mission, let's make it hard for people to go to hell that live in this community. Let's make it tough. Father, in the name of Jesus, if the band will come, this is a holy day. Today is set apart for you. Today is a mark in the history of this church. Lord, for years you built an incredible foundation here. Then you built a bridge from that foundation to the season we begin today. So today, Father, I am humbled. I am in awe. I am in reverence of what you have done in this church and what you are planning to do through this church. We are here today because it's not about a man. It's about you. It's about giving you glory with our lives, giving you glory with this church. Laying it all down before you, Father, for your purpose. This morning, Lord, we come together as a team. We come together in unity. We rally together, God, for the purpose that you have created for this church, Lord. To see what you're going to do, to bring you glory through the North County. To see lives changed. To tell the world that Jesus lives. To tell the world that Jesus died for them. So this morning, God, we're going to leave here in celebration. It's It's a somber day. It's a day of reverence, but it's also a day of laughter and joy for what you're doing. Church, would you stand with me as we close? You know, I thought we could do a slow song and close like a lot of churches close, but how many know today's a day of celebration? Let's leave here in joy. Let's leave here in celebration, and let's leave here proclaiming that the main thing is the main thing, and our mission is to tell the world. You guys want to do it one more time?
Let's do it.
Let's rock out with them this morning.
Your praise and walk away and forget your name. I stand for you if it's all I do, 'cause there is none that compares to you. And all I want in this lifetime is you. And all I want in this whole world is you.
Tell the world, come on.
Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again.
No longer I,
but Christ in me.
There's this truth that set me free.
How could this world be a better place? By thy mercy and by thy grace. 'Cause all I want in this lifetime is you.
It's love.
And all I want in this whole world is you. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again.
Here we go. Come on, we'll tell the world.
Come on, we'll tell the world about you.
Come on, church.
Come on, we'll tell the world about you. Come on, we'll tell the world about you.
That you could.
Come on, we'll tell the world about you.
Tell the world that Jesus lives.
Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that. Tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again.
Come on,
we'll tell the world about you.
Come on,
we'll tell the world about you.
Jesus,
come on, we'll tell the world about you. Come on, we'll tell the world about you.
Oh, yes, God is good. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful Sunday afternoon in the bright, shining sun. See ya.
Come on.